Hello again, this is the old Good Morning Man, Kermit Edney, with program 129. In a series of 260 broadcasts dealing with the happenings and the people who made things happen here over the past 50 years. The WHKP years since 1946. Following the same format as the great Frank Fitzsimmons series, we call it simply Where Fitz Left Off. And at this time in July 1956, 40 years ago, one company purchased 10,500 acres of land here. It was the largest purchase of land since the Speculation Land Company days. Right now, let me recommend strongly to you that you read the first five chapters in Volume 3 of the Frank Fitzsimmons trilogy, From the Banks of the Ocklawaha. Because once you've read of the Speculation Land Company, you'll find it easy to understand how one man had a 5,000-acre tract of land to sell, and another man held title to another tract totaling 5,400 acres. It was in this month, 40 years ago in 1956, when the DuPont Company announced it had purchased 10,539 acres of land lying in Henderson and Transylvania counties, and that they would build a new plant here to manufacture hyper-pure silicon. Now, hyper-pure is a hyphenated word, and to manufacture hyper-pure silicon, which was to be above and beyond standard purity, the plant needed to operate free from pollution, which meant the desirable site would be almost in the wilderness. And that land they found in the ownership of the Frank Cox family of Asheville and the A.H. Guyon family of Henderson County. In reading Volume 3 of the Fitzsimmons book, you'll see the name Tench Cox, who at one time owned 1 million acres of land in western North Carolina. He had acquired, at about 12 cents an acre. The Frank Cox family sold DuPont about 5,000 acres, mostly in Transylvania County. The Guyon family sold 5,400 acres, mostly in Henderson County. There was one other small tract of land belonging to Donald Rhodes, amounting to 139 acres, which was also acquired by DuPont. Back 40 years ago, there was a group somebody started calling the Breakfast Club that gathered every morning for coffee or breakfast at the Hot Spot. This was back in the days when Frank Edney opened the place at about 3:30 in the morning with the help of Rex Rhodes. The membership of that group was a real potpourri of the community. Tom Collins, Bill Brookshire, Frank Stepp, they worked at the post office. Leroy Dill, he was with Coca-Cola. Calvin King worked for Biltmore Dairy. John Pittman, Clayton Drake, they were retired. Bob Clayton, Robin Clayton, he was a carpenter. And Rupert Jackson of Jackson Flower Shop, there were others from time to time. But the one who took a lot of kidding in July of 1956, 40 years ago this month, was Donald Hill, one of the best-known surveyors in this area. Before DuPont and the sellers could close the deal on this purchase of real estate, all 10,539 acres, it had to be surveyed. And both the buyer and the sellers wanted Don to do the work, and Don simply said, "I'll do it this winter. There ain't no way I'm going to walk that snake country until there's freezing weather." And so the closing was delayed until the cold days of winter came in late 56. You had to bear in mind that most of the 10,539 acres back then was pure wilderness. Still is, to a great extent. In fact, today if you leave the Crab Creek Road and go up the steep grade next to Shoals Creek Farm, once you're on top of the ridge, it's a gently rolling and totally unspoiled highway that runs through the DuPont property, passes the plant, comes out at Cedar Mountain. And it's not too uncommon if you spot animals along the road you thought were extinct. It's one of the few privately owned and totally unspoiled acreages left in all of western North Carolina. DuPont not only invested huge sums of money to build their plant to manufacture hyper-pure silicon, but they brought to this area another great asset, people. People like Steve Thomas, just one of the many activities Steve has been engaged in for so many years, serving on the board of Party Hospital. George Hembry, who for many years was a resident of the Crooked Creek community, dynamic, soft-spoken leader in every sense of the word. Bill Morrell, anytime Bill was asked to serve in a leadership role in organizations from civic groups to the country club, he never demurred. It should be noted that these people who were associated with DuPont chose to live in Hendersonville in spite of having to drive a road with a very steep grade that was too hazardous in winter to even attempt. In the wintertime, they'd have to drive to Brevard and then take the curvy U.S. 276 to get to work. But they loved Hendersonville and insisted on living here. And finally, I don't know whether they are even still in the X-ray business or not at DuPont, but DuPont's concern for their customers was evident always to me when a local cab driver at night or in the wee hours of the morning would pick up X-ray film for some hospital that had allowed their stock to run too low. He would drive the film to the Greenville-Spartanburg Airport and put the film on the next plane out. This cab drive would usually occur at night or in the wee hours of the morning, and the driver would occasionally eat with the breakfast club at the hotspot either after returning or before leaving on the urgent run for DuPont. Another memory of the seventh child of a seventh child, lucky enough to have been born here, the good sense never to leave, and a job he's loved all of his life. Sursum corda, as we approach the next 50 years.